Welcome to Suffolk Matters, where all of Suffolk County meets the men and women of Suffolk AME. News, opinions, and insights you won't hear anywhere else. Here's your host, the president of New York's largest independent union, Suffolk AME's Dan Leveler.
Welcome to another edition of Suffolk Matters on Walk 97.5 and 94.3 The Shark, where Suffolk County meets the men and women of Suffolk AME. News and views you can't hear anywhere else.
So my guest this morning is Nick Caracappa. He's the majority leader of the Suffolk County Legislature, and proud to have you back in that role. Glad to see, you know, the composition of the legislature and everything. But thank you. I know your role as majority leader has you very busy. Appreciate you carving out some time this morning just to talk about what's going on in Suffolk County, how the new way of the world is looking. So
yeah, absolutely, my pleasure, Dan. It's always great to be here with you. You know, you're my friend. You know, you represent the members of Suffolk County, you know, the largest working class in Suffolk County. And, you know, we're looking forward to getting some great things done throughout the county, including for your members as well. And with our new county executive and the new team we have at the my colleagues, the legislature, you know, there's a lot of things we're already working on, which I'm sure we're going to delve into in a little bit. But we're excited, brother.
Yeah, no, this is going to be great. You know, there's been a lot of great discussion already. I think, you know, we're going to feel in Suffolk County, we're going to feel a change in the administration. We're going to feel that on the streets. We're going to feel that in our pockets. I think, you know, with the plan, you know, that you and I have been talking about, some of the initiatives that you're working on that we'll get into this morning, some of your colleagues around the horseshoe and you know, the county executive and his vision and how that's shaping up. Like I say, I think you're going to feel it on the streets and you're going to feel it in your pocket.
Everyone's going to feel it. Throughout Suffolk County, you know, the reverberations of what's coming is going to impact so many people and on so many different levels, economic development-wise, environmentally-wise, you know, stabling our financial situation within the county, reloading the workforce where we need it the most, and that's CPS, Child Protective Services, DSS, and even our crossing guards. And you know that. You know that more than anybody else. You represent most of these people. And the deficits throughout this county and the cutting of the services has been detrimental. And we all know about the Valva case. And, you know, the county executive, new county executive, it has a close personal impact on him with that, with his grandson being in the same classroom. Young Mr. Valva. And he gets it. Gets it. I've worked with then Supervisor Romaine on many topics because we work together in government, all different levels, from town, county, state, even the federal. We work together to bring the best possible services to the residents of Suffolk County. So, you know, talking and working with now County Executive Ed Romaine, and I still got to get used to saying County Executive Ed Romaine. It's just you know, we've been in this environment of him being nominated and then running for this position, and now it's finally here, and he's sworn in, which, by the way, I saw you there at the swearing-in, the inauguration. What a fantastic day that was for Suffolk County and the event itself. But just back to your point real quick, we're going to feel it across Suffolk County.
I agree, and I want to just jump into a couple of workforce topics real quick. You know, we brought up DSS, we know some tragedies that have happened there. But I look at the operating budget every year. We talk about all these positions, and social services, close to 600 people down, right? Those are people you're being taxed for that aren't there and aren't working. And part of the issue there really has become not just having enough caseworkers to go out and deal with the kids, but have enough clerical staff in the office so that these caseworkers are working cases and not doing the clerical work.
100%.
And these are problems that we've been talking about and looking to solve. And I am very optimistic the county executive has a great understanding of this and how to make these things work. You can tell by how he's pulling together teams, both, you know, on the administration, but also working immediately with the Suffolk County Legislature.
Absolutely.
I mean, he made commitments to you guys on the record during your inauguration, during your organizational meeting where everybody got installed and, you know, signed the oath and said, okay, I'm ready to do the job. Well, he was there and said, I'm going to be working with you. We're going to be shoulder to shoulder on this adventure. So it's
Partnership. That's exactly what we need, a partnership. And listen, this is no rookie coming to this position. This man's been in public service for decades now.
Yeah.
He sat on the legislature where I serve now. He was county clerk, assembly. And most of all, most recently, the town of Brookhaven supervisor, which is the largest town in New York State. And, you know, look what he's done there when he inherited that. you know, the financial impact he's made, the economic impact he's made, or the environmental impact he's made. This is a man, this is an individual that gets it, and his ideas on how to move forward and correct the wrongs, or however you want to put it,
sure,
that, you know, this, it's just not serving Suffolk County well, and he's going to turn it around.
Yeah, you know, I mean, he said very succinctly, he says, you do not get more with less. You get less with less. You know, and understanding that, you know, the core mandates of government have to come first, and it's not necessarily about the Newsday article, right? So,
yeah, you get it. You know, listen, yeah, we're both labor leaders. In my ex-life, I was a labor leader, and you know, when your employer comes to you and says, "We got to do more with less," and they keep squeezing that sponge and draining it out. Huh? You know, it doesn't make for a healthy work environment. And again, our new county executive gets that, and we need to have happy employees. A happy employee is a healthy employee. A healthy employee is a productive employee. It all goes hand in hand. And yeah, and to get that, you have to make an employee feel like part of the team. When you cast out employees as people that can be replaced or replaceable, you know, what does that say to the individual? What does that say to the individual's family? Why put the continued effort in and go above and beyond and get up after hours or before hours and come to work when there's emergencies? You know, you have to be made to feel like, hey, listen, we all have a job to do. That's correct. We do. Mm-hmm. But you know what? When you go above and beyond, when you serve the public, when you come into these roles, whether it's plowing snow or repairing electrical, whatever, crossing students, our children across the street, saving us, people at the beach. I'm an avid beach goer. I watch these lifeguards go.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't really matter. You just got to make them feel appreciated, you know? And how difficult is that really to do? It's not.
It's not. It's not. Yeah. And, you know, every policy decision, every little thing that happens inside of government, you know, the way government oversees itself, it also communicates value back to the employee.
Absolutely.
And it tells the employee, we care about you and what you do, or the exact opposite. And, you know, it's one of the things we do as labor leaders. We always ask the question, you know, what is it you're hoping to achieve with this change? And maybe there's a better way, right?
That's,
you know,
right,
always advocating for the men and women doing the work. So. But I, speaking of doing work, I want to get into a little bit, you know, in your own words, what does it mean to be the majority leader in the legislature? Obviously, you've got to be the legislator for your district, but now you have additional responsibilities. What does that look like?
Yeah, listen, we have a majority caucus. So as being majority leader, what you want to try and do is keep everybody on the same page, basically.
Right.
You know, and address things as a majority leader, as a caucus leader, that the presiding officer Kevin McCaffrey, which he probably shouldn't do because he represents all the legislators, right? So as a majority leader, and we are 12 now in the Republican Conservative caucus, and we come from very different and diverse districts, neighborhoods, communities. Mm-hmm. And what may be good, what may seem good for one community may not be good for Suffolk County as a whole, and that's what we have to remember. Just like you and I, as labor people, that you don't put one department above the entire unit, right? So you don't put one community above the entire county. You have to try and find middle ground, compromise, work on it. So we want to keep everybody on the same page. Sometimes a legislator will come forward, even myself, with legislation that you want to bring forward to your community because it would work. But then these are county laws. So we have to understand if we're going to enact or enable a law throughout the county, it can't just satisfy one group, one community. So that's just one example.
Yeah.
The best thing a majority leader does is bring everybody together and have conversations and explain to them things that, hey, listen, we can move forward. We may not be able to move forward. Let's find a different way to move forward.
Right.
But the thing is to keep moving forward.
Right. No, I get it. And, you know, I appreciate you putting that into your own words. It's not something I think everybody thinks about all the time. You know, what does it mean to be a majority leader? What does it mean to, you know, have this additional responsibility at the legislature? So it's, you know, I think it's a good thing just to kind of talk that out so people have an understanding. But in addition to those responsibilities, you have various committees that you got to sit on. You're chair of a couple, you know, Public Works, Veterans, Consumers Affairs. And there's a number of other ones that you're going to serve on as well, including the Budget and Finance Committee.
Yes.
And, you know, these are big jobs. These are important decisions that you've got to make. There's important discussions that have to happen. And, you know, you talked about earlier in the show, you said, you know, listen, we get a lot done through collaboration. I think most of what happens in government, you know, what we see in the newspaper, what we see on the news stations, you see that conflict. But a lot of getting things done is through collaboration.
Absolutely.
That means working across the aisle. That means working with districts that have different needs. That means, you know, trying to have a grander understanding than just, you know, your view and your district. And so why don't you talk a little bit about some of the things that you're, you know, looking forward to on these committees? You know, I mean, there's big things to do. And, you know, I'm sure you've already got some ideas.
Well, you know, we have many committees throughout Suffolk County and the legislature that my colleagues chair and co-chair and sit on these committees. And that's the beginning. That's where every proposed law, every proposed change or amendment, it starts there in those committees. And, you know, we have some very healthy debate on it. We have public portion, public input. But in my particular case, public works. Public works is huge with getting things done as far as, let's say, sewers. Sewers is a tremendous,
huge
mm-hmm. Projects that are going on throughout Suffolk County. We have many of them slated to go. We have a handful of them that are already in the planning and development stages, which will get it to shovel ready. The second part of that is to get the matching funds. And when I say matching funds, the way it works is the Suffolk County's got to come up with a certain percentage. Usually it's 10%. Some cases it's 20%, but then the matching funds come from both state and federal dollars. So if the project's $400 million, we have to come up with 10 to 20% of that, then we'll get the rest from federal and state funding, who's already set aside billions of dollars in projects such as this, because sewer projects in Suffolk County, sewer projects are the answers to so many different things. And let's start with water quality. When you put sewers in, you're protecting your aquifer, you know, and that's great. But right now, nitrogen isn't in the top 25 of problems within our aquifer. It's important, don't get me wrong, and I'll stop mm-hmm. by stating mm-hmm. that. We can get back to that in a little bit. But right now, nitrogen in our coastal waterways, our coastal communities that have cesspools right now, and every time there's a high tide, the water table, or you know, we have a large storm coming mm-hmm. in and the floods come in, well, that sewage comes up out of the ground, right out of the cesspools, and then when it receives, the water receives, it's going back into our coastal waterways. This nitrogen from waste, well, that's causing a lot of problems. It's causing the algae, the algae blooms, the brown mm-hmm. tides. It's killing our eelgrass, which is a huge natural blocker of high tides. It keeps our tides in check. Mm-hmm. It's closing our beaches, which is affecting our tourism. According to Discover Long Island, last year we had 9 million overnight tourists. That's just people, families coming in to our county, enjoying our parks, enjoying our beaches, who are coming in and staying overnight. That does not even count for those who are coming on the ferry, whether it be Greenport or Port Jefferson, and spending a day with their families. That's revenue. That's great for our economy. But when you start closing beaches for a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, a month at a time during these prime summer months, and so on. Schedules a vacation, it spends all their hard-earned money to come here, and the beaches are closed. Well, that's going to deter them from coming back. So getting in sewers is great for our economic development, our environmental, and our tourism, no doubt about it. But now when you talk about downtowns, just look around at some of the towns when sewers went in, Smithtown, Patrick, Babylon. You know, it's these sewer projects revitalize these communities, these towns that were otherwise, you know, dead on arrival. They were down and out. You remember going to Patchogue 20 years ago? Yeah. What it looked like? I mean, my gosh. To see the comeback, the turnaround that Patchogue has been able to do, but of course now you have sewers coming in. It can handle the capacities of all the businesses that want to come in. And when you're talking about businesses, I'm not just talking about restaurants and bars. We're talking about medical facilities, housing facilities, whatever it may be. We could handle that capacity. And when you get new businesses coming in, they're opening up in these shuttered old blithe of businesses, they're creating new jobs. We're keeping our youth here in Suffolk County. We're keeping people here in Suffolk County because we're providing them with opportunities. Sure. And sewers provide opportunities on so many different levels.
It does. And it creates competition in business as well. You know, the difference between, you know, just going to a restaurant site, you know, a place being successful and a place not being successful can come down to plates and silverware. And if you don't have the sewer infrastructure, You got paper plates and plastic knives, and people look at your restaurant in a particular way.
You're right, Dan.
It's little things that you just wouldn't, you know, it wouldn't immediately jump to mind. Like, why do we really need sewers here? Well, it has an impact on so many things.
Well, look at just putting the sewers in the ground. Look, yeah. Just the development part of it, mm-hmm. The infrastructure part of it. How many people will be put to work for years now? They can the entire careers will be put in sewers if all these projects go through. We have the plumbers, the electricians, we have laborers, we have all the trades. We have these great people who live here on Long Island, raise their families here on Long Island that'll have a steady job income for 2 decades, 3 decades to come, if not more. And that's what we need. And again, keeping people here in Suffolk County.
Yes. And listen, the value of your property, when sewers come across the front of your house and you get connected to sewers, the property value goes up. Right? You automatically made money. There's so many great things here. And listen, you know, we talk about the legislative agenda in 2024. This was one of the things that I wanted to talk about, the Water Quality Restoration Act.
Yes.
And we know that's coming back around again, and I want to check with you on your thoughts. I mean, do you think this is something that we can see going out to the voters this year, getting this thing done?
Absolutely. But again, it takes, it's not just Suffolk County. It takes, this is a state referendum. If it's to get on the ballot, it's got to be okayed by the state and the governor, and we need to work with our assembly and senators, and those are controlled by the Democratic Party right now. So no matter what bill goes through assembly or the Senate to get to the governor's office, it's got to be supported by one of the Democrat majorities, and that's just the way it works. And it's unfortunate, but someone comes up with a good idea, a good bill, it's got to be sponsored by one of the Democratic Party members of the Assembly or Senate.
Right.
So we have Fred Thiel working on this right now, and I know he's trying to protect his community that lives out east, a not dense population out there, very scattered, spread out, as you mm-hmm. can imagine, out mm-hmm. east. They'll never have sewers out there. The likelihood of that happening is very slim to none.
Right.
So they're going to be more on the IA system, which is the innovative alternative systems that are going to replace mm-hmm. cesspools, and I get it. So when this water quality bill was introduced, listen, I was all in. The way it was explained to me, I was all in. I actually went to a couple of my civics and explained it and said, this is going to be great. But once the details started coming out, the finite details, I was going on what I was told. And I should know better, right, as labor leaders, so you always got to read the fine print.
Right.
But when you start reading what the bill was actually going to do and entail, it was going to set aside hundreds of millions of dollars over the years for IA systems, which aren't in that much demand right now. They're not necessarily necessary at this point. What is necessary are sewers. We just went through that whole scenario, why it's so important. So when we found out 50% of the money was going to go to IAs, and this is a new tax, right? Let's start with that. So they want to introduce an eighth of a cent sales tax, right, to the people of Suffolk County to go toward water quality. Now, I worked with the Suffolk County Water Authority for 34 years. I was a water treatment operator. I know my way around the water industry and as far as treatment and distribution. I know the facts. So we have environmentalists come in and these professors from Stony Brook University coming to our public hearings and just fear-mongering the people saying, hey, look, the contaminants are going to cause cancer in our waterways and this is something we need to do and bang the table. This is the best we can do. Let's get it to the voters now. Let them vote on it, and then we can fix it later. I don't operate like that. I would never bring something forward to the public to vote on it, and then we're trying to fix it later. If it needs to be fixed, it's broken. I'm not going to bring something to the people.
Right.
So it's being fixed. It's being negotiated by a new county executive, by our team in the legislature, our presiding office, Kevin McCaffrey. We're trying to make it right so that, listen, if people are going to vote on a water quality bill, let it go to water quality. Let's not put percentages. Let's not bar us or tie our hands. So if we have, like I said earlier, shovel ready projects ready to go, we just need matching dollars. If there's matching dollars in this fund and there's say $300 million or $500 million in the IA part, let us tap into that. Let us put people to work. Let us protect our coastal communities and our aquifer, and let's be able to use that. That's water quality. Hey, look, we don't have to drop below a certain percentage, but don't hog tie us. Not allow us to do the job that we got to do with this new sales tax that's going in there. The second big problem I have with it is that they wanted to incorporate. They wanted to put this new, create this new eighth of a cent sales tax increase, put it on the same proposal as continuing the existing quarter percent sales tax that was for water quality in itself. The Pine Barrens, we all know what happened with that. We're still going through litigation. Mm-hmm. That fund had hundreds of millions of dollars sitting in it that's supposed to go for protecting our water quality, acquiring land, whatever. Mm-hmm. The then majority, Democratic majority legislature saw the opportunity because we were in a big deficit here in the county financial-wise. They saw this money and figured, let's put a referendum on the ballot and use hundreds of millions of dollars that are sitting there and use it for debt service to pay down debt. Now, when you put a 3 or 4 sentence paragraph on a referendum and you word it the way it sounds pretty and neat and it's going to be great and it's going to lower taxes and meanwhile it's stripping away from the very intent that it was intended for, water quality, it's just something that it's not real. It's something that I would not put out to the public. It's not why I was elected. It's not what I stand for. So that's another problem I have with it. But that's all being worked out, luckily. Yeah. And we look forward to putting something forward on the table in front of the people that vote and do the right thing.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm going to summarize real quick, see if I understood you properly. It wasn't a question of the intention being bad, right? It wasn't that the water quality issue doesn't need to be addressed. It was how it was being addressed. The mechanics of it, and, you know, to some extent, some disingenuous language that ended up on the ballot.
Look, let's just say the formula wasn't correct.
Right.
And we didn't want to put anything in the last minute. This is something they've been working on for 16 years.
Yeah.
16 years, and they wanted to rush it through, and I get it. Steve, the outgoing county executive, Steve Ballone, worked on this for a long time. He wanted to sign it into law, but you don't rush something like this, a new percentage, sales right. percentage tax. You don't rush it through just to get someone else's signature on it. I would love to invite, and I told him from the beginning, I would invite him down for the signing. Our new county executive will sign into law, but he should be there as part of it because he's worked so diligently on it. But we don't mislead the people. We right. don't put something out that's not going to be exactly and precisely what it's intended for.
Right. No, I got you. So, you know, speaking of other big initiatives, you know, this is something I've been very interested in. I've been talking to outside developers about. And when you kind of brought this concept to me and we sat down and we started talking, we started going through numbers, you've got great presentation, great details and data, but it's this idea of workforce housing. And we were looking at that as AME, we were looking at that for our members to say, okay, you know, the county pays what the county pays, you know, and people are having a hard time getting by. Is there something else in their life that we can do for them? The concept that we were looking at, not too dissimilar from yours, but what you did is kind of built something in the mechanics of government that, in my opinion, you know, forces developers to do the right thing. When they're given a specific tax break, that tax break has to go back to the betterment of the community. But why don't you talk to me a little bit about the workforce housing program bill that you've got together, and let's get into the weeds a little.
Yeah, sure. I appreciate it. First of all, I appreciate your support, and within my presentation, I actually utilize your members and your salary structure to put an emphasis on how badly we need this. If our own county employees can't afford housing these days, then what else does it need to say? That, you know, these people with pretty good county jobs, benefits, you know,
right.
pay scales, and they can't afford housing. And let's get into it, like you said. So let's just start by explaining what these subsidies are. So subsidies are tax dollars giving out to developers when they have these projects that want to come forward. And part of these subsidies, whether the county subsidies, town subsidies, IDA subsidies, they come forward and say, look, we want to build this development, but we need some funding to get this job done. Within those perimeters are already in place these parameters that you have to include a certain amount of units. Mostly it's 10 to 15% of the units have to be for certain things, and one of them being affordable housing. And anyone who's tried to get this affordable housing over the last decade or so, you know, we had a complex built in my community, not, you know, 10 years ago, and
right.
people were excited about it. You know, I have friends of mine whose kids were graduating college or coming out of high school and beginning in the trades, or young professionals. Mm-hmm. They're walking in there, and there's one-bedroom apartments at $3,600 to $4,200. And that's not affordable. And I start taking a look at it. When you start looking at the subsidies guidelines, so subsidies guidelines are anywhere between 80% AMI, which is the average median income, up to 120, even 130 when you go out east. And that puts, when you say 130 or 120 of average median income, you know, we're talking about at 80%, your average salary is approximately $87,000. At 100% AMI, you're about 109, 109.5. And at 120%, Your average median income for a single person is $121,000. I don't know what individuals coming out of school or starting in any one of our trade unions, wherever it may be, making that kind of money, right? So I started taking a deeper delve into it. So right now in Suffolk County, the code is if you're going to come and get subsidy money, you're required to have 15% of the units at affordable, quote unquote. 50% of that 15%, so 7.5 units, have to be at 80%. The other 50% have to be at 120. That is where I have a huge problem. The county, over the last 5 years, has not, all except for one project, has not given out any subsidies to any developments over 80%, except for one 90% in Brookhaven Town. Mm-hmm. When we got on the phone, and I wanted to be as transparent as possible. I got on the phone with all 10 town supervisors, and as we went through all of these communities, we were told, especially by East Hampton, we need 130, we have to have 130, and we can't get on board with it. When we went back and did the analysis over the past 5 years, East Hampton has not accepted any subsidies above 60%, and they went as low as 30%. So don't tell me it can't be done.
Right.
I met with all these developers. We've had candid conversations. Yes, it's going to be a little more of a strain on them, but we're talking about 15% of the units. And in actuality, of that 15% of the units that are already at 50% of those, like 7.5 of those units at 80%, I only want the other one. I only want the other half. So make something. If you're going to come to us and say we need county tax dollars for affordable housing, please, let's make it for affordable housing. Again, it comes down to opportunities for our residents. We want to keep our workforce here, whether you're a young teacher or medical professional or going into the trades. Like we said, you know, they need opportunities. They don't want to live in their parents' house until they're 25, 30, 32 years old. We have to provide opportunities here in Suffolk County. Now, you're going to hear me say opportunities, like I mentioned with the sewer projects, providing opportunities. That's all the people of Suffolk County want. I represent a blue-collar district, as many of us do, and many of us are. No one's looking for a handout in our communities. Everybody wants to go to work every single day. Everybody wants to provide for their families. They want to be able to have opportunities, right? That's where we come in. If we're going to give subsidies, we're going to give tax dollars to these million-dollar, multi-million-dollar, billion-dollar corporations, provide more opportunities to the people. And that's where this IR 1013 2024, folks, if you want to come out and speak in favor of our next committee, please do, because this is something, and let me tell you, it's a small step in where we need to go logistically here in Suffolk County with housing, but it's a huge, huge step in actions taken by this county. And I got to tell you the support I got from just recently from Dan Panico, who's the new supervisor of Brookhaven Town, Edward Main, several different organizations, Libby, LIA, you know, they all, I have all letters here saying, hey, listen, we get it. We're on board with it. And they want to do the right thing. Everybody here wants to do the right thing. And that's a great way to start this new year. I'm excited about it, Dan. So thank you.
No, I think this is a great idea. You know, again, at the end of the day, these developments are created to make money for somebody, right? They're not just doing it because they love building houses. They like to, you know, make a couple of bucks. And all we're saying is if you're going to take tax dollars to help you make a couple of bucks, you've got to give back to the community that you're building.
Right. I mean, this is going to affect your members.
Yeah.
And now when I looked, I share these figures with you. You shared them with me. Yeah. So that's why we incorporated them. So 80% AMI, average median income, for a one-bedroom unit, you're going to have to be making $87,550. All right. Your average person at a grade 33 is making $87,000. Now, I say grade 33. Do you know how many employees you have, how many members you have currently at grade 33?
Non-existent.
Not even on the charts.
I see.
Not even on the charts.
So, and just for the people who don't understand out there, basically like grade 8 is the lowest you can hire legally by law, right? Because of minimum wage and whatever else. Most people sit between grade 8 and, say, grade 23, 24.
That, and how many members do you represent here in Suffolk County?
So about 6,000.
About 6,000. Right? Yeah, so 50 of your members are making that. And so it's just, listen, I'm tired of putting blinders on. I'm tired of making excuses. I didn't run for this office to sit here. I ran for this office. I'm 34 years with the Suffolk County Water Authority. This is my second life. I've been involved in my community for as long as, since my first child was born, and even prior to that. I want to bring tangible results to not just my community, but to Suffolk County. And we are on the right path with this bill. This is going to be one of the first bills coming in front of the legislature in 2024. And let me tell you, it's going to make a world of a difference for some families out there.
I agree. And, you know, while you're attacking the problem from this direction and making housing more affordable for working people, we're working in the other direction to make sure that we are recruiting and retaining the best people. You want the people in Suffolk County government, the people that are providing the services to you, to be the best and the brightest. People that want to come in, want to stick around, want to be part of their community, have their have pride in their work. And that's one of the reasons why, you know, another initiative we've talked about. We don't have too much time to go into it on account of
summarize this. What you're saying.
Yeah.
Again, let's bring it back to opportunities. Let's bring it back to our own working class. So, you know, I have voted against supporting initiatives that millions of dollars to put toward training of the young work class in our communities. That sounds terrible on the face, but the training that these individuals are receiving are encouraging them to leave, to go to Norfolk, Virginia, down south to have careers. I'm not going to invest millions of dollars, tens of millions of dollars of taxpayers' money to train a young individual, pay for their training, and then they have to move out of state to put that training. Let's reinvest in our own employees, our own workforce. Let's stop training our, and there's some agencies within the county, I'm not going to name them, that they fully train these individuals, and as soon as they get certified, they move on to Nassau County because the pay is completely different. It's you're talking tens of thousands of dollars difference. It's worth the commute for them. Let's reinvest in our communities. Let's reinvest in our employees. Let's make Suffolk County more sustainable to live. Let's make Suffolk County, and I'm going to quote our newly elected legislator, Catherine Stark, from the 1st District, let's make Suffolk County a place to live, not a place to leave.
Right. No. Excellent point. So my guest this morning, Majority Leader, the Suffolk County Legislature, Nick Caracappa. Nick, again, I want to thank you. I know how busy you are. We get to hear this morning some of the things that you've been working on that's been keeping you engaged. But thank you for carving out the time to speak with us this morning. We look forward to the support of some of these initiatives that you've got in place and the support that you show our membership.
I'm very blessed and pleased to be here. And I want to give a shout out to every one of my colleagues in the Suffolk County Legislature. They are true people. They are just like us. They are family people. They're volunteers. They're firefighters. They come from a vast experience in our communities. I look forward to having the next 2 years working side by side with them because we all intend to do the best work possible for the people of Suffolk, and that is refreshing.
To our listeners, we'll speak to you next week.